Be'ez Hashem Yisboch, we begin Perek Tishi, the ninth Perek in the Hilchas Machos, Asuris, in the Laws of Forbidden Foods, in the Rambam Sefer Kedusha, which continues the theme of the previous Perakim, which we're speaking about regarding kosher species, but prohibitions that apply to it nonetheless, as in blood, as in Giranoshe, as in Chelev. And this Perek, the Rambam discusses the halacha of Basa B'chalav, the prohibited mixture of meat and milk. The Rambam opens up halacha alf regarding this prohibition. Says the Rambam, Basa B'chalav, meat in milk. Asla vashle, not a cooked meat and milk, and the asla achli, and it's also forbidden to eat it minatar biblically. And third of all, the aser bahano, it's also prohibited to have benefit. And the kaybenayse, and therefore, if one has this prohibited entity known as basa b'chalav, one has to bury it. And the efri aser ke'efer kalanek barn, and its ashes are also forbidden, like those things which have to be buried because they're forbidden to have benefit. That includes even its ashes. Now, umishi vashle mashneim gezayis ke'echad, and someone who cooks the, from the two of them the size of an olive as one. That's a shear of the Isser. Then like he gets lashed, and like says in the Pasuk in Shemais, Lisavashla Gedi Bachalev Imoy, one should not cook a kid goat in its mother's milk. Meat and milk is a prohibition of cooking. And V'china Oichel Gizayis Mishneim, so if someone eats an olive size of the two of them, Me'abas V'achol V'shin Nishvashla Ke'echav, and the meat and the milk that was cooked together as one, like he gets lashes, V'ava Bishle Bishle, even if he didn't do the cooking. As Rambam explains Halacha Beis, he says, the Torah wasn't silent from prohibiting the eating, and because it only talks about the bishul, it says a few, three times in the Torah, but it doesn't say about eating, it only says about cooking. It says the Rambam, that's el b'nei sha'asa bishul. It's only because it's prohibiting the cooking. What it means to say is, even the cooking is prohibited, which generally you don't have that. You have a lot of things not to eat, but not cooking. And the ein tzoch loy machilas, and I don't have to say that the eating is prohibited. Like the Rambam brings an example, as we find that the Torah was silent from prohibiting a man of marrying his daughter. Because it says, now marry the daughter's daughter. Obviously, included the daughter. So to hear, if we're telling you not to cook it together, most definitely we're telling you that it's prohibited to eat it together. Now, halacha gimel. Now, says the Rambam, ain't asim na taira, this prohibition from the taira is il b'sar b'ma taira, it has to be the meat of a kosher animal, b'chali b'ma taira, in the milk of a kosher animal. Shnemaka says in the pasuk, lo sabashal gidi, don't cook a kid goat, which is a kosher animal, b'chali b'ma, in its mother's milk, which is a kosher animal, its mother. Now, says Rambam, gidi, when it says gidi, hukayla really includes v'lat hashar. It's not just, gidi doesn't mean the kid goat, it's a kid, which is a young animal, including the blad asher, the child of an ox, blad aser, the child of a cow, meaning the blad aser, the child of a sheep, of a lamb, blad aes, the child of a goat, because atshe yifrit, it's only when it specifies, but it says gidi izim, that's a kid goat. So therefore, when it says gidi, it means any meat. And b'lo nema gidi b'chalevim, it doesn't say a kid in its mother's milk. The pasuk only talking that which is common, which is a kid goat to cook it in a kid in its mother's milk. But gidi means any meat, and chalev imoy is the milk, not just of its mother, of any kosher animal. Now that's biblically. So therefore, avol b'sar b'ma taira. So the meat of a kosher animal, which is b'chalev b'ma tmeya, in the milk of a non-kosher animal, or the other variable, b'sar b'ma tmeya. The meat of a non-kosher animal, which is b'chalei b'hema taira, in the milk of a kosher animal, that is mutl levashla, is permitted to cook, u'mitas banoi, you're permitted to have benefit from it. Now, and therefore, and even b'chayev al-chalasa, neither are you liable even on the eating, mishum basa b'chalav, because of meat and milk, but most definitely there would be the issa, the prohibition of the non-kosher, whether it be that milk of the meat, but it's only kosher meat with kosher milk. Halacha dalet, v'chein b'sar chayev ha'if, so too, the meat of a wild animal or a bird also does not have the biblical isser of basa b'chalav. Bein b'chalev chaya, whether it's with the milk of a wild animal, bein b'chalev behema, whether it's the milk of a kosher, regular, domestic animal, in asa b'chil matar, that eating is not prohibited from the Torah, because it's only the basar of a behema, not of a chaya v'aif. Lefikach, therefore, mutlavashle. Therefore, and that even rabbinically, one is permitted to cook, because even though, as we're going to explain right now, there's an issa drabanan, but that was only on the eating. So therefore, you're allowed to cook it. U'mutabana, and you're allowed to have benefit from it. V'asa machilim adivri seifim. Regarding that of chayis and naifas, it is rabbinically prohibited to eat it. Why? Kedishle yifshu am, so that people don't become negligent. V'yivoyle issa b'asa b'chalav shalter, that they come to violate the biblical prohibition of meat and milk. Because they're going to come to eat the meat of a kosher behema in the milk of a kosher behema, because the simple translation of the pasuk seems to only indicate, oh, simple translation sounds like only a kid in its mother's milk. which, but if it's not its mother's milk, would sound like it is permitted. So to preclude any confusion, they said every milk and meat mixture is going to be prohibited, meaning even that of a chaya and an oif. But again, that's only a rabbinic prohibition. Halachei, whereas dagim chagavim, although that's some type of meat also, fish meat and locust meat, mutlach mechalav, that doesn't get as confused, and that's permitted to even eat with milk. Vashaychet oif. Now, if someone slaughters a bird, benimtza by beim gemuris, and finds inside specifically fully finished eggs, so even though it's found inside the chicken, but it's fully finished, kind of, it's not, that's like part of the chicken, which would be a problem, but it's fully finished, mutlach mechalav, you allow to eat that with milk. Which there's no problem about eggs and milk. Halacha vav. Now, hamaushin, regarding if something was smoked, or hamavushal b'chamei tveri, you cook it with the hot springs of tveri, ukayetzbem, or something like that, because now the Rambam is qualifying not just the ingredients, but also the way it's prepared, which is specifically bishal, loisavashal. So anything that's not like pure cooking, like smoking or cooking in hot springs, okay, some things like that, in like in love, one does not get lashes because the Torah only makes it forbidden what's called derech bishul, the way things are normally cooked. And v'chem hamvashul basa b'meichav, sometimes I'm cooked meat, but what's called the water of milk, which is whey, it's not the milk itself. Oy v'chalev meso, or the milk of a dead animal, because the Torah tells v'chalevim in its mother's milk, which is fit to be the mother, in contrast if it's dead, that it was slaughtered. Or the milk from a male. Obviously, that's not imoy. But someone cooks blood with milk, not meat with milk. So apart from all these cases are going to be exempt. And neither are you going to get lashes for eating that mixture because of meat and milk, but one would get lashes because of the nevela, the dead animal, or in the milk of that dead animal. Now, meaning one would get violet nevela for that of the milk of the dead animal. But obviously the chalav zacha wouldn't have any problem. But there's not going to be any lashes for the consumption of basal b'chalav. Now, aval mavashal b'sar mesa, but someone cooks meat of a dead animal, which is a nevela, echelev or the prohibited fats. Okay, it's been things like that. And someone cooks the b'chalav with milk, like al bishuli, actually would get lashes for the cooking because there was never a pre-existing prohibition of cooking on this entity until it was cooking it with milk. So regarding the cooking entity, the cooking procedure, there's only an isser basar b'chalav. And this is basar. It's the basar of a kosher species. It just wasn't properly slaughtered. Chalav is also part of that animal. So that would get lashes. But ve'ein aloika al chalas. But interestingly, one's not going to get lashes for eating it, mishum basar b'chalav, because that obviously one would get lashes because if it's a nevela or chalav. But one would not get for that of basar b'chalav. Why? Shein issa basa b'chal, because you cannot have the prohibition of meat and milk to be chal to take effect. Alis nevelo yesachel, when the pre-existing prohibition you already had on that entity because of it being a dead carcass or because being for prohibited fats, because shein kam lo yesachel. Here you don't have a more inclusive prohibition. Not that it's adding anything. Alis ba'asach, it's not taking effect at the same time. So since it was already prohibited already before because of nevelo, because of chalav, so what's called in esachalis, you can't have the new prohibition of basa b'chal take effect on this already pre-existing, but by bishul, you never had any pre-existing bishul. This is the first, it's a bishul, so for the cooking, it'll be violating and get the punishment, but not for that of the eating. Halacha zayin. Mevashel shlil b'chalav. If someone cooks a fetus in milk, so chayv is going to be liable, because that's also considered gedi. If someone eats it. Now, aval mevashel shlil, but if someone cooks the placenta, which that's the sack that the fetus is in, which that's not fit to be eaten. Or the skin, or the gidin, or the sinews, vatsamas, or the bones, v'ikar karnayim, or the roots of the horns, utlafayim, or akim, the soft hooves. If someone cooks those things, b'chal, with milk, then pati is going to be exempt. If someone eats them, he's going to be exempt. That's not considered basar to be the prohibition, b'chal. Now, Allah ches, now the Rambam gets into a discussion regarding the measurement, regarding the prohibited mixtures of basar b'chal. What qualifies for the prohibition of what's considered a prohibited mixture of basa b'chalav? Says the Rambam, basa shenafal teicha hachalav. If meat falls into milk, aichalav shenafal teicha basa, or milk falls into meat. When this bash lima and it gets cooked with it, so this person didn't cook it; it fell in. But what's halacha now regarding the prohibited mixture? Is it basa b'chalav? So shiur benayis and tam. Its measurement is regarding does it give taste? As Rambam explains, kids at household. Chaticha shel basa, a piece of meat shenafal teicha like kederu sacha shachalav, falls into a hot pot, a boiling pot of milk. So toyim hagoy is a gedir. Obviously, kind of a Jew tasting it to see, oh, because if it is, he just violated. So toyim hagoy is a gedir. A Gentile who has no prohibition, he tastes the pot. If Amashesh Batambasa says, this milk has a meaty taste to it. Okay, Asur is forbidden. Obviously, it's giving taste, and there's a mixture of meat and milk over here. Vimla, but if not, he doesn't taste any meat in the pot of milk, in the hot cocoa, mutar is going to be permitted. Now, but that piece of meat that fell in is going to be prohibited because that piece of meat obviously absorbed milk inside of it. It's just that the milk that it fell into is going to be permitted. Now, the medrash, when we say this, it's only if they quickly got the piece of meat. Oh, yeah, a piece of meat fell into the milk. They quickly took out the piece. Before it got an opportunity to expel the milk that it already absorbed. There's two ideas. The meat falling into the milk, which is giving the meat taste into the milk. And there's also the milk coming into the meat. Okay, so the milk, if it doesn't have the taste of the meat, it's going to be permitted. And the piece of meat, okay, that's forbidden because it has the milk inside of it. But it's only because you took it out quickly. But if you didn't take out the piece of meat quickly, then there's something very different over here. Then Meshar Moisa, then you have to actually evaluate that piece, Beshishim. You have to see if the pot has 60 opposite that piece of meat, meaning together it's a total of 61, as Ram says, Lirin Perk Tezayin. Why? What happened was that the milk got absorbed in that piece of meat. Now, that all becomes forbidden because that's basam chalav in the piece of meat itself. Now, yotzeh ben esor v'mishar chalav, now that milk is suddenly expelled back into the pot of meat, in the pot of milk with the rest of the milk. Now, you can't now and use the non-Jew, the Gentile, to discern the taste. Because the taste of the prohibited milk tastes the same as the pot of milk that's the rest. So you have to evaluate with 60. Because Chazal knew that more than 60, it doesn't give taste, although you cannot discern because it's milk with milk. And it's prohibited milk that was in the piece of meat. So if you didn't take it out right away, and therefore the milk that was inside the meat went back into the milk, then you have to go with this halacha of evaluating with a measurement of 60 opposite the entity of that piece of meat because of the milk that was inside the piece of meat. Halacha test. Nafal chalav l'tech k'derish al basa. Let's say milk falls into a pot of meat. In other words, on one piece of meat in that pot. Now, toimin esachaticha, what you do is, so the milk fell onto that piece of meat, you meaning the Gentile, he tastes that piece of meat. Shonav alo chalav, that the milk fell on it. Eh, mein batam chalav, if the meat doesn't taste like milky, akomot, everything's permitted. Now, v'im yesh b'chaticha tam chalav, but if that piece of meat tastes like there's milk inside, sa'af apisha im tisachet hachaticha. So even though you would, quote unquote, squeeze out that piece of meat, and you'd be able to get out all the milk that it absorbed, what's called Efshalasachta, you could squeeze it out. Lo yishar batam, and that there wouldn't be any more taste of milk in that piece of meat. Doesn't make a difference. Meaning, since right now that piece of meat has a taste of milk inside of it, nesro isachaticha, that piece of meat intrinsically becomes a prohibited entity. Umisharim bakula, now you have to evaluate the rest of the pot in correlation to that entire piece of meat itself. And this is what's known in halacha as Chaticha asma nasis nevela, chanan, chaticha nas nevela, and it's like a non-kosher piece of meat, and now that's going to be problematic for all the rest of the meat in that pot. So therefore, says the Ram, if everything else in the pot, mena chaticha is from the other piece of meat, vayark and the vegetables, vamarok and the sauces, vatavim and the spices, in regards to all of them, if you have kadeshatir chaticha zu, that it's going to be that this problematic piece of meat, is going to be echad mishishim in akol. It's going to be one of 60 from everything else, meaning together it's going to be 61. So it's 60 to 1. Then, hachaticha sur, so the piece itself that it fell onto, well, that's going to be forbidden because that's what, again, chanan, chaticha nas nevela, it became like a prohibited entity in its own right. But vashar, mutan, only then will the rest be permitted because you have 60 to the 1 of the meat. But if you don't have 60 to the 1 of the meat, even if you had enough of correlating to the milk that was inside, that doesn't make a difference. The whole piece of meat became like its own nevela. And you have to have 60 opposite that piece of meat. No. Says Ram Halacha Yud. But Med Mamun, when do we say this all? This is only B'Shulei Niras HaKadir B'Tchilo K'Shanav L'Chald. You didn't mix the pot right away when the milk fell into the meat. So, this piece of meat was like its own, it's a separate piece of meat. And the milk was not bubbling into the rest of the piece of meat and into the sauce. It was only in that piece of meat. Oh, so you have to evaluate that piece of meat independently. And if you don't have in that piece of meat, 60, in contrast to the milk that fell in it, that whole piece, like we said, becomes its like own piece of nevela. Because you didn't mix the pot el lebesayf, only at the end, which actually the fact that you mixed it, actually now that meat is all mixed in with the rest. And that's why you see, you need 60 of the pot connected that one piece of meat. And also Balekisa. Neither did you initially cover the pot, which would also make it get all mixed together. And you only mixed it at the end. That's where the previous halacha applies. Avolam near mitchil batzai, but if you were mixing the pot from the moment it fell in up until the end, or you quickly cover the pot from the beginning when it fell in until the end, oh, then harizah benayis and tam. Then it's giving taste, meaning if the drop that is giving taste in the whole pot, only then will it be forbidden. But if you don't have enough in that drop that fell in to give taste into the whole pot, not into that one piece of meat, to the whole pot, everything's going to be permitted. And even though it has enough to give taste into that one piece of meat, but since you mixed it up right away when it fell in, so if you mixed it in right away, it's like the whole pot is one entity, and therefore you relate the milk to the whole pot, not to that one piece of meat. Or same thing would be if, let's say, milk falls into the gravy, into the sauce. Or falls into all the pieces. You don't know which piece it fell onto. So then you go ahead and you immediately go ahead and you start, when you see it fell in, you start mixing the pot. And you could go ahead and mix it together to make it until it's all mixed together and all as one thing. And then, only then, if the whole pot has a taste of milk, which the non-Jew tastes to see if it does, then that's what's going to be forbidden from law. But if not, muteris, everything's going to be permitted. Now, if you don't find a Gentile to taste it, to rely on him, and that you could rely on him, so then you evaluate, again, like we said, with 60, whether it's meat that fell into milk, whether it's milk fell into meat, Echad Meshesham Mutter, if it has 1 to 60, it's permitted. Pachas Meshesham, less than 60, it's going to be us. It's going to be a prohibited mixture. Now, Halach Yidalf, says the Rambam, Kederi Shebishel Babasar, related to these laws of Basar B'chalav, if you have a pot that was used to cook meat, Leivash B'chalav, you shouldn't use it to cook milk, because you have what's called the blias, the absorbed taste in the pot that's going to be now coming out and expelling into the milk that you're cooking. Then Bishel, if one did cook, then it's B'nais and Tam, then it goes based on taste. Meaning, if the Gentile is there, he's going to taste it to see the milk does have a meaty taste. And if not, we'll go with Shishim, with 60. Do you have 60 of the milk that you're cooking in contrast to the amount of taste that could be absorbed in this pot? Now, Lachid Beis Ram continues regarding related halachas of Basar B'chalav, that of the udders, that of the stomach, and that of preparation of cheese. Says Ram Hakol, regarding the udders, which are the breasts of the animal where it nurses, Aser Medivei Seifim. That's actually only rabbinically prohibited. Why? That's meat. And in that meat, the udder of the cow has milk inside. Shouldn't that be the classic milk and meat? No. Shem basa shen is basal mechalev shchuta, because it's not really to have the meat that was cooked with the milk of a slaughtered animal, which we already mentioned in the previous halacha. The milk that's in the udder is after the animal slaughtered, obviously, because you're cooking this udder. Asa min atari, that's not biblically prohibited. Kamashman, like we explained, halacha vav. So, lefikach, therefore, if they tore the udder, umerka chalvashabay, and they emptied out all the milk that's inside of it, you could roast it and eat it, because roasting has everything come out anyway, and then you could eat it. Now, vimkroy shasiva eiv, now if you tore it in the length and the width, crisscross, which for cooking with meat, it's not enough just to empty out the milk, because of the taste of the meat that's absorbed from the milk that's in the udder, it has a taste of basar b'chalav. So, but if you tear it crisscross, but tachah because and you squeeze it against the wall, until there's no moisture of milk in the udder, then with lavash and basa, then you can even cook it with meat. Now, ukhal chalekara, now regarding udders which were not torn, bein shel katana shlehinika, whether from a small animal that didn't nurse, which we're talking about because it has milk in its udders, it didn't even nurse, bein shel gadela, or whether from an adult, either way, us lavashle, it would be forbidden to cook those udders. If one violated and cooked the udder by itself, so it's permitted to eat. But then bishle in basachav is cooked with other meat, then misharan oisai, then we evaluate the whole udder. Now, not only the milk that comes out from it, because we don't know how much milk it's expelling, you evaluate bishishim, in how much meat do you have in contrast to this udder. Do you have 60 opposite that udder? Now, here actually, ukhal min aminyan. Yeah, the udder is from the count, meaning it's enough if you have 59 pieces of meat opposite the udder, because you combine the udder with the meat, the kosher meats, to nullify the proportion of 60. Either because, since the whole halacha of kchal is only rabbinic, like we explained, because it's chalev mesa, so they were lenient regarding its measurement. Or some say, no, actually, because the udder is not what's prohibiting, it's the milk inside of it. So the udder itself is like kosher meat, which would combine to nullify the milk, and therefore it's enough to have 59 opposite the udder, and not 60 opposite the udder. Now, Lachi Gimel, the Rambam explains kezer how so. So he illustrates, he says, Imhoya kol makol, if everything together with the udder was kamashishim makol, was like 60 opposite the udder, and it's really 59, like we said, you're including the udder with it. Hakol aser, no. So the udder itself is going to be forbidden because the meat gives taste into the milk that's inside the udder, or because of marasayin, it looks like meat and milk. But vashar motor, but like we said, the rest is going to be permitted. Now, if Imhoya bepachas mashishim, but if it was less than 60, then hakol aser, then everything's forbidden. Now, but said the Rambam, benkach, either way, whether there's 60 or there's not 60, if the udder falls into another pot, I said it's going to make that other pot of meat forbidden. Then you have to again evaluate, do you have 60 pieces of meat, really 59, opposite the udder, kibbershayna, like we originally had said. We have to have 60 opposite. And the reason for this is, chakol atzmish in this ba'ashal, because the udder itself that gets cooked, nasa kechaticha hasura, it actually becomes like a prohibited entity. So actually, it would require the 60 because it itself is like a prohibited entity, which you always need 60 to nullify. Now, the aim of sharam bay. Now we don't evaluate in regards to the udder. El kamishu beishin is special how the measurements are of the udder when it's being cooked. Le kamishu beishosha nuffel, not at the time when it fell in. The important idea here is in that we don't have to know what it was when it fell. When it's cooking, we see, and that's how we evaluate it as it is right now. One should not roast the udder that was cut, which we said that's what one should do when he's roasting it. He just cut it and he can roast it. One should not do that lamala men habasar above other meat, bishapur on a spit, because still you can have milk dripping down from the udder on that other meat. Now, but if one did roast it like this, then hakolamot, everything will be permitted. We don't say that the milk is absorbing itself in the meat and is going to be prohibited, because ultimately the whole halach of khal of the udders are only rabbinically forbidden, so this was only initially prohibited, but after the fact, the other meat will be permitted. Halach tazvav says the Rambam keva, regarding the stomach of the animal itself, shabish l'bachav shabah, which we cook with the milk inside of it, not like the udder, which is milk coming, like which the milk is being produced by the animal for a nursing baby. No, it is milk that the cow itself drank from, let's say, its mother, and now it's in its stomach, in its digestive tract. So regarding now the stomach is meat, which is being cooked with the milk inside of it, here says Ram Mutaris, that's going to be permitted. She'ena chalav, because the milk inside the stomach is not really qualified as milk, it's like waste matter. Because it changes in the intestines, and therefore we don't qualify like milk, it's like waste, which is being cooked in its stomach. Now, halacha design says the Rambam, asul lahamra gvina. It's prohibited to make cheese, which you need something to curdle it, you need something to make the milk into some hard substance in the chemical process. You cannot do it ba'or ha'keva shel shchuta, in the skin of the stomach of a slaughtered animal, because it's qualified as meat, and you're making meat with milk. Now, v'emhemet, if someone did curdle the milk to into cheese, from the skin of the stomach, which has those chemicals that could curdle it, so then toy mesa gvina. A non-Jew tastes the cheese. And yesh b'tambasa, if the cheese has a meaty taste, well, asur, then it's forbidden. If not mutes, it's permitted. Now, the Rambam has to come to explain now and say, wait a second. The Rambam is bothered, but we have a general rule that usually a davar hamayim, it's something that's making something else, which is like this making the cheese, is prohibited even with a minute amount. And here the or hakeva, the skin of the stomach, which is basur, even though you don't have a taste, is being maimedit. So why is it permitted if you don't taste it? It doesn't have to have taste. Even one in a million will make it prohibited. So the Rambam comes to explain that that's only when the maimed is a prohibited thing in and of itself. But here, where the meat and the milk independently are prohibited entities, it's actually only going to be prohibited, even as a maimed, only if it gives taste, as the Rambam explains. Nisham maimed davar matuhu, because the thing that's creating this cheese is itself the skin of the kosher animal. Is a davamutu, it's a permitted element. Shakeva shchuti, because it's the stomach of a slaughtered animal. The inkan ele isa bas v'chob, the only thing that we're entertaining over here is a prohibition of meat and milk. Shishayur ben leisadam, which its measurement is if it gives a taste. Because in contrast, avala maimed, but if someone, let's say, curdles cheese, with the skin of the stomach of a not non-slaughtered or treifa animal or from a non-kosher animal. Oh, since he's creating the cheese from something that's intrinsically prohibited of its own self from a non-kosher animal, then nestra givina mishum nevela, then the cheese is going to be prohibited because of a nevela, blemish of bas v'chom, not because of meat and milk, but because of nevela, because even if it's one in a million, it doesn't make it, it's going to create the iser. Because of that concern of creating the cheese from the skin of a non-kosher source, that's why they said that the cheese of the Gentiles are forbidden, like we explained in Perek Gimel, Halacha Yud Gimel. Because the concern that they use that to create the cheese. Now, Halacha Yud Zayin, the Rambam continues regarding if the mixture is hot or cold or spiced. Says the Rambam, Habasal levad mutter. Now, meat on its own obviously is permitted, v'chol levad mutter, milk on its own is also permitted. But it's only the mixture of the two of them. Through cooking specifically, then both of them become forbidden. Now, the medrum, when we say this, where both of them are cooked together. Or even, when one of them being hot falls into the other one that's also hot, which also is a mixture of taste through heat, which is what cooking is. Or even if the top one's cold, but it's falling into the bottom one, which is hot, which the halacha is, like Shmuel, the tatar gavar, the bottom one is the one that's the stronger and that creates the identity of the mixture. We hear the bottom one is hot, so it's like cooking in something that's hot. So therefore, it's going to be prohibited as basa b'chol, and it's because it's going to have the transfer of the taste. Avlam nafal echad mishneim b'ucham, but let's say one falls into the other one, and it's hot, meaning the one that's falling is hot, into the second one, which is cold, so the bottom one is cold, then then you only have to peel off the appeal's worth of the meat, of the entirety of the meat, that touched the milk, because even though the bottom one is cold, and it cools down the top one, and that's the stronger one, but still it's going to absorb a little bit that of appeal's worth. Now, let's say something cold that falls into something cold meat into cold milk, whatever it is, then actually, then all you have to do is wash off the piece of meat, and it's going to be permitted. And lafikach, therefore, says the Rambam, because we're saying that when you have cold into cold, it's enough just to wash it off, that therefore, you could wrap meat and cheese in one handkerchief, v'hu, obviously, you have to be careful that they don't touch. But the reason is because of Vimnagu, even if they do touch, it's cold and cold. Madiach basa, you'll just wash off the meat. Madiach gvin, you'll wash off the cheese. We're going to eat it. Therefore, since really washing is sufficient, so we're not concerned initially to wrap them, not touching, but together in the same kerchief. Halacha yitches. Now, maliach, salting, if it's she'en nechel machmas melchai, if it's so salty what you salted, that it's not edible because of the salting, then harei kureisech, that salting has the same chemical properties as boiling, as roasting, and actually that could cause the absorption and the expulsion of taste, and therefore that will make it prohibited for basa b'chol. Now, v'mnechol k'may shu, but if it's edible as it is without washing it off k'may kutach, like the famous Babylonian dip called kutach, which was salted, but edible salting, in the kereseach, then it's not like boiling, it's like cold, and therefore if the meat would fall into the kutach dip, all you would have to do is either peel it or wash it off, as the Rambam said in Halacha Yud Zayin. Now, Halacha Yud Tes. Oif shachad shenafal l'chalav. Slaughtered fowl, chicken, that fell, shenafal l'chalav, that fell into milk. Oil l'kutach shesh b'chalav, or to the kutach that has milk. So, im chayhu, if the chicken is raw, medichu mutter. So, it's cold and cold, you wash it off and it's permitted. Then tzali, now if the chicken is roasted, then actually kalfoy. Then you actually have to peel it, which there's discussion, is it talking when it's hot roasted or warm roasted or cool roasted, but even if it's cool, when it was roasted, it softened it up and therefore it's more easily absorbed. So then you have to take at least a peel's worth off it. Now, v'mhoyu boi plochem plochem. Now, if let's say there were cracks in the piece of chicken, which also allows more easily absorption, or it was spiced with spice, which also the spicing softens it up and makes it more easily absorbed, and it falls into milk or to the kutach, again, then it can be forbidden because it's going to be absorbed throughout that piece of chicken. And the Ram continues regarding other hachakas, other requirements of distancing of the prohibition of basal b'chalav regarding food items and regarding that of vessels. Says Ram, halacha chaf, asal hal sa'if imagvina. You now put the chicken with the cheese, Ala shulchan shehu oichel lov, specifically on the table that you're eating, not that where you're just setting up the food, but on the table that one is eating. Gzera as a rabbinic decree, mishum hergel avei, because it could custom one to sin, shem yichel zem zem, because one might come to eat one with the other, which, and afa pishayif b'chol vasim debrisayif, and that's a chiddush, because even though chicken with milk is only rabbinically prohibited, as we previously explained, it's only by behema and that of chalav, even so, we're so concerned that you can't even set up the table by having the chicken next to the cheese if that's the table that one is eating from. Now, halach chafalv. Let's say shneach senoyin. You have two guests. She'en makirin zezer, which they don't recognize each other. They're allowed to be oichel l'shulchan echad. They can eat on one table. Zeh b'sa behema, this one eating animal meat. Zeh gvina, this one cheese. Even though we said generally is concerned, even by yourself, or another person, you might come to a shir. But here, where they don't know each other, she'en zeh, gas liba bezed, they're not so familiar one with the other, because they share that they might eat with them, they were not concerned that they're going to have the meat and the milk together. Now, halacha beis, another related issue, is ein loshen isa b'chalav. You're not letting knead dough with milk, not let make a milk dough. Vimlosh, if one didn't eat, kalapasa surah, nehergal bread, the whole bread is forbidden even to eat it by itself, because of accustoming a person to sin, shemayich babasa, a piece of bread, and you put on a salami sandwich, you might have the bread with meat. So to the opposite, ain't tashna satan mal, you now smear the oven with fatty of the fatty tail, which will give a good taste inside the oven. The imtash, and if one did smear, kala pasasur, the whole bread is forbidden. Achayasik satan until you first heat up the oven, which will then clear out the taste of the fat of the tail. Shamiyach b'chol, because you might have milk, might have a cream cheese sandwich with that bread that was made in the oven. But v'mshina b'tzur sapas, but if you change the form of the bread, achatin the keres until it's recognizable. That you could tell this is something different about it, that you won't have meat with it if it was made with milk, or not with milk, but made with meat, then the reason why then it's permitted, because you could tell that this is dairy bread, or this is meat bread, and then it's going to be permitted, because it's not going to come to the confusion of having it with the other type. Halacha Rav Gimel. Pasha fa imat sali. Let's say a bread that was baked, because they're under the laws of baking bread, with something that was roasting meat. It was with one oven, but they weren't touching each other. Or v'dagam shetzlem abasa, or let's say fish that was roasted with meat. So here, that bread or that fish, aslach m'chalav, is forbidden to be eaten with milk, where although generally the Rambam does not hold of the halacha of reicha being milsehi, but here he is concerned for many different reasons, either like ligat kilo, or it's davar shesh l'matirin, is permitted ways to do it, therefore the Rambam says not to eat it with milk. Now, ka'ara sh'achal babasar, if there's a plate that meat was eaten on, u'bishl badogim, and then you cooked fish on that plate, that fish is permitted to eat with the Babylonian dip kudach, which has milk inside of it. Now, this is halacha known as not bar nat, meaning nat means nice and tam. Bar nat, like the son of nice and tam. Because what happens is like this. The meat gave a taste, it's nice and tam, into the plate. The plate then gave a taste into the fish that was cooked inside of it. So the taste of the meat went into the plate, from the plate into the fish, and still everything is mutter, because the fish is not problematic if it has taste of meat, according to the basic halacha of basa b'chalav. So that's not bar nat. You have one transfer of taste into another transfer of taste, and it's still not basa b'chalav, so therefore now you could have the fish with milk, because each one is independent, although by other isurim, what's called not bar nat di isura, that would be problematic. So if the second transfer was something that would be prohibited with that, meaning the instead of fish, something else that would be prohibited from the taste of the meat would be cooked with that, well, then that actually would be prohibited. Here it's only because the fish itself is permitted, it's already not but not. Now we view that meat as non-existent and you could have the fish with milk. Halach of doubt. Sakin shechotach babasat tzali. If you have a knife that was used to cut hot roasted meat, then you went and used that same knife, what's called the fleishke knife, that was used to cut radish or similar things that are from the sharp types of foods. Asla achla mekutach, you cannot eat that radish with kutach. The reason for this is because the radish is going to be absorbing from the fattiness of the knife that has some fattiness that are stuck into the knife. Something that's not recognizable, and you're going to really have some substantive taste. So although we said it's not by not, the meat went into the knife, the knife went into the radish. Here it's not. Here it's like one knot. And it's like actually from the meat itself that's in the radish. Or additionally, another interpretation is because sharp things absorb more than hot fish, so it's going to be like one level, not two levels away. So there you cannot have that radish with kutach. Now, avam chotach babasa, but if let's say you use the knife to cut meat, v'chaz v'chotach b'kishu z'batich, and then you subsequently cut zucchini or watermelon, which does not absorb, so you could just cut away at the place where the cutting was done, Baruch Hashem Hachem, you can eat the rest of that zucchini or that watermelon with milk. Halacha Chafei. Im anichin katshal, another harchaka, im anichin katshal melach, you don't put a jug of salt, bitzad katshal kamach, on the side of a jug of this kutach dib. And the reason is, b'nei sheshayv men, because the salt is going to absorb through the walls. This is the way the Rambam interprets this halacha, which based on that, they say that it's only by earthenware vessels which would absorb. Other sheikhs and rishayim hold this because it might fall in, then it would be any type of vessel. But the Rambam is saying, because it's going to draw, the salt is going to draw through the wall from that dairy in the kutach dib, now it's going to turn out that you're going to cook meat, and you're going to salt this meat with this salt, which has a taste of milk. Now, but you could put the jug of vinegar on the side of the jug of the kutach dib, which is what this kamach is, because the vinegar does not draw from the kutach dib. The Ram continues regarding another well-known halacha of harchaka between that of eating milk and meat. Someone ate cheese or he first had milk. One is immediately allowed to have meat right after the milk. Now, but the other has to wash his hands and wipe out his mouth between the cheese and the meat. Now, what does he wipe out his mouth with? Either bepas, with bread, or at least some types of produce, that you have to chew, and then you spit it out, or you swallow it down. Because the Ram explains, the point is cleaning out the mouth, where you're chewing it and you're getting rid of whatever cheese is inside of it. And the truth is, you could wipe out the mouth with anything, except for dates, or chemical flour, or yarkas, or vegetables, because that doesn't really clean out the mouth very well. When we say this, when one wants to eat after the cheese, animal or wild animal meat, then you have to wash your hands and wipe out the mouth. Now, even though basar chaya is only rabbinic, but according to like one of the interpretations, because it's similar to that of basar behema, so they made the chaya like behema, or someone to say that no, the problem more about is regarding that of like basar oif, because that doesn't get so stuck in the mouth as it does regarding basar behema. So therefore, that's why they differentiate. But either way, but the primary really is the basar behema. Chai was included in that too. That's when you have to wash out your mouth and between the cheese and the meat. But if one wants to eat chicken after he ate cheese or milk, then he does not have to wash out his mouth, and neither does he have to wash his hands. Now, what's with the other way around? Someone first ate meat, whether he first ate meat or whether he first ate chicken. A person should not have milk after that. Until he has the time span from the meat and the subsequent milk, the amount of how much it usually is till one has the next meal. That's around 6 hours. That's how much people usually wait from one meal to the next. And the reason why we have to wait so long is they have because of the meat that's between the teeth. Which that's one of the two interpretations which Ram is going like, that says the reason is because of what's stuck in the teeth. That doesn't get so removed with one cleaning out, because the meat gets stuck inside one's mouth, and because of that, the amount that it will take till it's fully gone is the amount of 6 hours, and therefore after meat, one will have to wait. So from meat to milk is right away, but one has to do some type of cleaning procedure, and from meat, one has to wait 6 hours until one can then subsequently have the milk.